From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, December the 14th, 2010. Every week, this podcast brings awareness to the news that shapes the geospatial industry sector, the trends of location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Geolocation patents is our topic today, and we'll look at one patent in particular that allows Telecommunication Systems, Inc. to track chats, blogs, and other virtual content. We'll try to understand just what this patent allows TCS to do. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Get ArcGIS on your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. Download the free app from the Apple App Store. For more information, visit www.esri.com/ArcGIS for iOS.
Adina, the patent in question was issued to Telecommunication Systems, a public company listed on the NASDAQ as TSYS. And in the interest of full disclosure, I am a stockholder of this company. TCS's business is primarily VoIP and text messaging and location-based services. It does an awful lot of work in location-based services of text messaging. The patent under question today is called Apparatus and Method for Associating Geospatial Location to Content on a Network, which provides the ability to associate specific geospatial locations with virtual content on the internet. And we're going to try to tease out exactly what this patent does. How might TCS implement the patent, and should it raise any particular concerns, privacy or whatever? Let me get a little bit into the patent in question and try to read from the patent description that obviously was issued in the patent office. It says the TCS invention extends and modifies the otherwise conventional format of the presence information data format location object. There's an acronym associated with that, PIDF-LO. And this format is defined by the Internet Engineering Task Force. And it documents format tags, actual people or places with a geospatial location. The patent allows for otherwise conventional PIDF-LO format to be extended or modified to associate a geospatial location to virtual data. For example, to a format of graffiti, known as netfeedy, on a computer network such as the internet, corporate intranets, and or corporate extranets. So, in reading through the whole patent, it's a little bit confusing if you're not familiar with reading patents, and as we discussed, we're not lawyers. To me, what the patent does is it's just associating its geospatial location based on internet content. And again, reading from the patent, this could be, and I quote, in another embodiment, XML content, for example, photos on the internet can be provided with descriptive information using location where content tags, including the presence information. To me, this doesn't seem new, but it did raise a few comments on our blog, and to me, this is all that seems to be doing is associating a lookup of perhaps a geographic reference with a specific and actual geospatial reference on the net. So if you're trying to do location-based services based on virtual content, which is really what the patent says, all you're really doing is looking at the content on the web and associating a geospatial context to it. That's what my reading is. It's probably a very naive reading, or at least a very elementary reading. What's your take on this? And maybe you can give some more context to the actual patent information.
Well, let me start off by saying that I had never heard of the PIDF-LO before. And I'm also very confused about this thing called virtual content. Content that's electronic, to me, is real. You just can't see it unless you display it on some tool that knows how to understand electronic content. So this whole idea that it's virtual really bothers me, because it's not. It's real. It actually does live somewhere. And interestingly, it doesn't really live on the network, of course, right? It lives on some server.
Lives somewhere, yeah.
Right? And again, you have some devices that allow you to access it, and in this case, access it potentially based on its location. So there's a whole bunch of things in here that already make me uncomfortable because I don't feel like I understand what they mean. Now, having said that, this sounds like yet another description of services that we've been talking about and frankly that have existed far before January 9th, 2007 when the patent was filed. And those are all these services that sort of allow information to sort of float in space such that when you walk by it, you may have access to it. So in that sense, this seems like there should be prior art. That's just my gut. I haven't looked back. Now, the other thing that makes this unique is this extension of this location object idea from the Internet Engineering Task Force. And I tried to look that up on the Internet Engineering Task Force website to find out what kind of status it had. Was it an approved kind of standard, or was it still in request for comment status? And I'll be honest, I don't feel like I got a complete answer to that question. But maybe what's making this unique is this idea, not only that it's associating a location with some, I'm going to call it electronic content because that makes me more comfortable, but that it adds to an existing framework for storing the location information, and that's what this location object concept is. Now, maybe that's unique, but the actual association of content with location, to me, sure sounds like, with a little bit of research, could be tossed out.
My feeling was that, knowing a little bit about Telecommunication Systems, Inc., their primary business is text messaging. And I got the feeling by reading this that there was some prior art, or perhaps the prior art wasn't fully described in the context of their business. And they felt it necessary to apply for a patent to cover themselves for something they wanted to do. And I just got the impression that this was one of those things where either they're doing something now with geolocating SMS messages, or in their word, chats, which I guess, of course, text messaging, with all of the text messaging that's going on now, and all of the traffic on mobile handsets being mostly text, that they felt that there was some need to further refine what this presence information data format should be with respect to their business. So whether it's a kind of a cover your butt type of a thing for them so that they're in line with what they're doing and what may be coming down the road with text messaging, it felt like this was, they had to scope this out in more detail for them to, you know that what they're pursuing in their inventions is secure.
And yet the term SMS does not appear in the patent, and there is no particular reference to text messaging so far as I know.
It at least appears to reference that, does it not? I mean, it
well, that's a really good question, because while I was reading it, I certainly was not thinking about that.
Well, it just seems like digging through all this, through the haze of the mumbo jumbo of the content language, it gave me that impression that this is what it was after, and that term virtual content virtual content was referring to text messaging. That was my take. In addition to whatever can be found on the internet, maybe it's language that had to be necessary to satisfy the patent office. It raises a couple of questions about why they did it in this format, and maybe why they did not reference SMS specifically. Maybe the patent office doesn't recognize SMS. But
well, in your knowledge of TCS, are they a big proponent of this location object? Do they use that? Do they implement it?
No, you know, like you, this was the first time I had heard of this. Just having followed the company for several years, they're kind of the big dogs on the block with SMS messaging. And in fact, most of their revenue had come from doing business with carriers and being the kind of the behind the scenes technology for SMS. What's happening today with geolocation in mobile devices, maybe, again, I'll reiterate, maybe they felt it necessary to secure a patent off of something they're doing now or will do in the future.
I think the timing is actually an interesting thing to look at, because the whole discussion of PIDFLO that I found seems to have begun in 2005. This patent was filed in 2007 and granted on September 28th, 2010. So it may be that back in 2005, when they were keeping an eye on what the Internet Engineering Task Force was doing, they said, oh, this is going to be the hot thing, and we want to make sure that we're going to be able to extend that location object to include this electronic content. And so they put it in without really knowing whether or not this particular location object was going to take off or not. And let's face it, there are lots of standards and efforts like this that get written down that never really get implemented in any widespread sort of way.
Right. And the other thing that came to mind when I was reading this, again, going back to the phraseology of virtual content and describing some specific location with it, it brought to mind, again, what Meta Carter was trying to do with associating a physical location with text and words, which could be, you know, derived off of documents. In this case, could be a virtual document. So to me, it didn't seem like this was anything truly new. But again, thinking of the timing that you just did, Meta Carter, kind of back in that same time frame, was doing similar things.
The Meta Carter comment is interesting, and I know that there was a comment to our blog that suggested that part of this patent may have been related to the idea of extracting the actual content and using that to determine location. I didn't find that. Did you find that in the patent itself?
No, I really didn't. Yeah, no, it just wasn't all that clear.
Well, I'm just suggesting maybe our commenter misunderstood something as well. While that would be an interesting thing to get a patent on, I didn't see that here.
Yeah. I just want to read this other comment again that came out of the patent document, because it says, in another embodiment, XML content, in other words, photos on the internet, can be provided with descriptive information using location-aware content tags. So again, it almost seems like it was the patent was trying to be applied to more than just text and words. Here in this what I just read, it referring to photos or other content. Again, in the timing related sense, a couple of years ago, everybody was uploading, you know, Flickr photos and all that, and you could almost see that there may have been this rush to secure certain IP within the company. And frankly, I didn't look back and look at all of the other patents that the company had with regard to geolocation, but I imagine there are quite a few.
Let me just say that within the text of the patent, it does go on to talk about text, image, audio, video, and MIME, multimedia internet messaging extensions. So that was a very broad set of electronic content that they wanted to cover.
Right, and that was one of the things that was mentioned by a person who left a comment on the blog about this being a very general patent. You know, what could happen with a patent this general. Didn't seem that general to me. It sounded like some of this was very specific, but in terms of the content that it was covering, it seemed to be covering an awful lot of electronic content, in your words.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of that content made me think, well, that's absolutely true. This could be considered quite broad, but we have this, I would argue, we have quite a history within the geospatial space of patents that seem to be excessively broad. From the first one that I can think of, which related to using GPS data to make a map in a GIS, that to me sounds obvious, but there is actually a patent on that. And we just recently went through that whole patent case related to basically internet mapping for real estate.
Right.
Ultimately, thankfully, tossed out. I guess my unfortunate response to this whole patent and the press release that announced the patent was, that happens every day in our space.
Right. And probably will continue to happen as geolocation is becoming more and more of an issue. And yeah, you wonder whether this is one of many that seems to have bubbled up to the surface, and there probably will be several more that will do this and maybe cause concern. It's interesting that this one drew so many, or at least a few, comments to the site. And maybe as we progress and mature in the business of location-based services, there's going to be either additional patents issued. Certainly, we've already had the privacy concerns. Even that, some of that has died down, but but maybe we'll see more patents issued because of people thinking that, oh, well, this is something special, and it may just not be that special.
Well, the other thing is, frankly, putting in patents right now could well be too late.
Yeah, that could be true. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that the ArcGIS API for the Apple iOS platform is available to download at no cost. The API lets developers build applications using the mapping, geocoding, geoprocessing, and editing capabilities of ArcGIS Server. To learn more and to download, visit www.esri.com/ArcGIS for iOS. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment at the comments box where this podcast is posted on Directions Mag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.